Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My name is Chris Welsh, and you can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That is Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. We cover all the things that you could possibly want, from the foods, from the nerdy Star Wars stuff, our secret show. We just did a whole nerd Star Wars episode because of some just ridiculous human being that is starting a rebellion against Disney, a real rebellion.
There's nothing we don't talk about. Our rebellion is going to be better than hashtag me too, apparently.
Yeah, there's really not a lot that we don't talk about. And you can also go check us out over at patreon.com/ITL Army, where those said secret shows are, where they are comedy shows and they are completely inappropriate. So maybe you'd like them. We do a whole bunch of other stuff, live video chats, I cover prospects, stuff like that. So it's a cool place if you're into sports, you're into fantasy, and you want a wild and crazy community. By the way, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, go try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. If you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. The decision 3.0. Is it 3.0? Yeah, it is 3.0. Is upon us. I forgot we had the first one where it was Miami, and we had the second one back to Cleveland, and now the decision 3.0 is literally just going to go to LA. Why is LeBron not doing a video, like a four-part video series like Paul George is doing?
Doesn't want to make it all about himself? I had no idea that Paul George was doing a four-part
video series. Are you
serious?
Dude, no. Every person has... Did you see those rumors that came out a couple days ago where it was like, Paul George might opt in to stay with the Thunder?
Right. Well, I heard he might opt in and then he might, go somewhere else, Indiana wants him back.
He has a deal of doing a four-part, I don't know where, it's a documentary series on his free agency.
Okay, so it'd be really boring if he was just like, yeah, I'm going to L.A.
Why would he do that? Well, no, that's what you do. Why would he do it if he was staying in Oklahoma City? You do it because you're leaving the team. You're going to create drama. You're going to make it feel like
what I'm saying is creating drama is saying that, hey, maybe I'll stay. Maybe I'll go to Indiana. Maybe I'll go to L.A., not just, yeah, I'm going to L.A.
100%.
So you can film four parts of this and that's it.
100%. And I was asking, why isn't LeBron doing it? Of course, because he doesn't want to make it all about him. Why would he do that? He would never televise a decision to leave and go to another place. That's not like him. He's very humble.
I saw him and his son jumping off cliffs into the water the other day. And I was like, is this really smart for a guy that could be making, whatever it is, $40 million a year to be doing in the summer?
He doesn't need money ever again. But I thought was great about that is the shot you look and you're like, oh my God. You're like, to your point, you're like, what are you doing, man? You're sitting up on a cliff and then he jumps and you're like, you jump like 12 feet. He's like 12 feet
into
the water.
Go to a water park with Joel Embiid. That looks like fun.
You see Joel Embiid introduce Mobamba to the NBA?
I saw that. Yep.
You want to lose $100?
Well, did you see the other thing that he said? It was, what was it? It was he beat T.J. McConnell in a video game, and he thought T.J. McConnell was going to cry, and he was in his face screaming at how worthless he is. So he's like, that's what I like to do. It's like, I like to get in people's face and tell them they're terrible to their face.
Mm.
I don't know.
I like him.
A bit much.
I mean, it's a little bit much, but you know, he doesn't.
Maybe get a hold of your son, Joel Embiid.
I'll talk to him. So LeBron James, he declined $35.6 million for his player option in 2018 with the Cavs, and he gone. But as the reports are out there, the most likely teams are the ones that are not going to have to facilitate things to sign him. You know what I mean? They got the cap room. The only facilitation would be if he signed like a long-term deal. So he would sign with the Cavs and they do a sign and trade type of thing. So there's that could exist. But the teams that are the most likely are the Lakers and the Sixers. They've got the money to make this happen. And of course, the Cavs. The Cavs are the ones that could give him the absolute most money. But when you decline $35 million, it's probably not about playing with the team that can give you the most money. You want the place with the best opportunity. Obviously, for him, it's not Cleveland. L.A., the guy wants to be like, it just wants to be everything. He wants to be a star. It's built for him. He'll go. He'll play with Magic. He's going to reestablish the Lakers. He's going to go build another stupid super team. He'll have all the advertising dollars. He's probably getting movie parts, and the money is going to be relatively the same. It's been the biggest no-brainer to me that he's going to be a Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, you say he's going to L.A. like it's already done, and I just don't buy it.
I felt it's done. I will be shocked. If he signed with the Sixers, I would be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if he re-signed with the Cavs. I think that's
the most likely scenario. I think the re-signing with the Cavs is the most likely scenario. I think the only reason that L.A. or Philly or Houston or any other team is even a possibility is because he hates Gilbert so much. I think that is the only reason why these things are up in the air his fractured relationship with ownership.
But why did he opt out then? Is it to like let the Cavs make the moves and then he'll sign for whatever's left over?
I mean, he opts out because he gets to make whatever decision he wants. That's why he'll only ever sign a 1-year deal.
But he's not going to return.
If he doesn't like that situation, he can go literally wherever else.
But he's not going to return to that garbage team with the Cavs. He did everything he could with that team. His decision is, do I want to go play with Kevin Love or do I want to go and potentially be able to play with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with the Lakers that are going to spend
money? No, I understand.
And it's Magic.
What I'm saying is wherever he goes, he's going to sign a 1-year deal. So he's not going to go to L.A. and sign a 5-year deal or 10-year deal. LeBron is the ultimate 1-year deal guy at this point in his career, because wherever he wants to go, they'll find a way to take him. So he doesn't have to sign a long term deal to get his money and get it guaranteed. He's already got, like you said at the top, he's already got more than enough money. He'll only ever sign 1-year max contracts. And if something happens, you know, if he's in LA for a year and goes, what did I do? This is terrible. All this LA stuff is a total distraction. I can't play with these guys. You know, whoever is ball selfish, I can't get along with the coach. We're never going to beat the Warriors. This isn't going to work. He can go wherever else he wants.
I see what
and
you're
he'll
saying.
Do that whether he's with Cleveland or L.A. or Boston or
but
Philly or Houston or wherever he
goes. He's handpicking his team. He's getting out. He's like on Slack or whatever, and he's hitting up KD. He's like, yo, you want to come play with me? Like, all he's doing is recruiting right now. It's not going to Cleveland. KD's not going to go to Cleveland. It's about the Lakers. He's recruiting for the Lakers. Magic Johnson is the ultimate I don't care about the rules, and I'm just going to tamper.
I don't care about tampering.
I'm going to just tamper. You know those two have been on GroupMe or something talking. And that's why Magic is out here being like, how confident is Magic being like, if I don't have this turnaround, I'll quit. I'll be done. Because why do you think the Lakers are making this huge push? Because they know they need to get Kawhi. They've got to have – they probably have some deal where it says, if you got Kawhi, I'm coming to L.A. Why would they make that move for Kawhi if they don't have confidence that LeBron James is coming? Can they pull that trade off?
I mean, whether you get LeBron James or not, don't you still want Kawhi? I don't think they're going out there saying, well, we have to get Kawhi to get LeBron. I think Kawhi is also really good.
Sure. But the whole point is they want to build. I think Kawhi also he's going to want that assurance if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to be locked up with them.
I mean, look, the goal for L.A. is to get Kawhi, Paul George, and LeBron.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're going to have to give up everything to do it.
But I think they would settle with Kawhi and Paul George if LeBron decides to stay in Cleveland, if he decides to go to Philly or whatever. They improve their team immensely by getting those two guys either way.
Another option out there, you know, that we haven't really talked about, you could have a situation where what if the third guy is not Paul George? What if it's Chris Paul? Chris Paul and LeBron James
are
best friends.
Houston. So
he's not staying in Houston, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he sign?
Chris Paul's staying in Houston.
Did he sign?
Not yet, but he's going to.
Are you sure?
Chris Paul, yes. Chris Paul is working harder to try to get LeBron to come to Houston than he is working on his own contract. So he's not worried about what he's doing. He's re-signing
in
Houston.
But he can't. I mean, but Houston's like, they're over the cap.
Yeah, but they would make some moves. I mean, I know that the Kings are looking to take bad contracts to get picks back, so you could deal Ryan Anderson.
But he doesn't want to play
Kings.
In Houston. LeBron doesn't want to play. He wants to play in L.A. Why wouldn't Chris Paul go back if he could play with Kawhi Leonard and imagine
Chris Paul has already said he's staying in Houston. Like he said it. I know. Look, it doesn't mean anything until everything's signed. I understand that, but I think it would be an upset if Chris Paul winds up somewhere else.
Well,
he wants to stay in Houston because they were so close to beating the Warriors without anybody else, without LeBron, without Paul George or whoever else they could, without Kawhi, who else they could possibly add.
The only scenario is if he's going there to play with Kawhi and LeBron James. That's it. That would be the only one because he's been in L.A. He was traded to the Lakers and then David Stern was like, nah. Like he would do. I think he would do that. And if you look at the balance that a team, these guys are smart enough to realize what is it we've got to do to beat Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green. We can't just throw a bunch of stars. You can't just throw Carmelo and Paul George and Russell Westbrook together.
Carmelo's
that doesn't work.
Terrible,
that doesn't right? work. You got to have the balance. Kawhi Leonard, shut down defender. Chris Paul, I mean, great defender. One of the best point guards in the league with LeBron James. You have those three. You can pair out any other buyout contract players and you can make it work. If the Lakers could do that and keep maybe one of their guys, maybe they lose Randall. Maybe they can keep Kuzma. Maybe you keep Kuzma.
They're open
you trade
to trading
Ingram, Paul,
Ingram.
Ball.
Right.
Yeah. They want, yeah. Ingram is as good as gone. You keep one of your guys. Then you go out. Maybe they purchase, you know, a guy or two that got bought out. You know, there's a couple of those guys that are looming. I think LeBron would look at that and say, this is the team. Like, as much as you like Paul George, I think he would look at it same, even if it was Paul George and Chris Paul. I think that's a sleeper option. But to me, it is 99% LeBron James.
What would you do if you're LeBron? I mean, I think obviously since you're so hard-headed in this, LeBron is going to the Lakers. That's it. Apparently, Chris Paul is going there. Apparently, Kevin Durant's going to leave the Warriors and go to the Lakers.
Well, that's definitely
just every player is going to the Lakers.
No, it's
apparently.
I think Durant's not going anywhere. He's not. Why would he go anywhere?
Yeah. I mean, he's openly said, I am resigning.
I think Paul's an option because of the friendship, and he would. Why would he not be tempted?
Then
to
why
go back
isn't
to LA?
LeBron to Houston an option because of the friendship?
Why would you want to go to Houston?
Because they almost beat the Warriors, and if they had LeBron, they would have.
Yeah, but LeBron James.
And they will.
But he got to the finals with the Cavaliers.
Well,
he doesn't want to.
Why would he want to go to the? Why would he want to go to the Lakers
to go to
in
LA.
The West when he's not getting in the finals? To me, it makes more sense.
Lifestyle.
It makes more sense for LeBron to go to Philly or to go to Boston because wherever you go in the East, you are walking into the finals.
You know what my problem is? I don't think it's about that.
Even
I think
if he stays
control.
In Cleveland, I think he walks into the
finals. I think
finals.
It's about control. The guy is, he wants to control. Why would he go to Houston when it's James Harden's team? Why is he going to go to Philly when you've got Embiid in town? I mean, I guess I could see that, but also, why would you live
Please,
in Philly? Why
Embiid,
would you go to Philadelphia?
Give me
why
a
would
break.
You go to Philadelphia? He wants to go to L.A. His
to
kids
win
are out
a
there.
Ring. I mean, to be honest, this comes down to what do you want, LeBron? Do you want to win rings to compete with Jordan at the end of your career where it says, you know, who's the best player to ever play basketball? Or are you going to L.A. to be in movies, get a bunch of money, and maybe beat the Warriors, maybe beat the Rockets?
But what makes you say that they're not going to make – he goes to L.A., handpicks his team, gets Kawhi and Paul George, let's just call it. Why would that be not 1,000 times more ideal than going to Philadelphia or going to the Rockets? Why would you not want to handpick a team, go to the Lakers?
Look, in Philly, you walk to the finals. No one else in the East
sure.
is competing with you. If you go to Boston, you walk to the finals. No one else is competing with you. If you stay in Cleveland, you don't add anything. It's tougher to get to the finals, but you just did it. Like, you're probably going to wind up doing it again. So if you go to Houston already has a really good team. And they almost beat the Warriors. You know, they took them to 7 in the Western Conference Finals. So that you have a possibility to beat the Warriors to go to the finals. If you go to L.A. and you add a couple stars, it's still a really good team. But now you have to go through probably Houston and Golden State to get to the finals. That is a tougher road to get to the finals than it is in the East where you walk in. That's what I'm saying. And it all comes down to, does LeBron want to say, look, I'm the best player ever. I can go to L.A. Hopefully we can get Kawhi. If we can't, we're at least going to get Paul George, and maybe we can add another star at the deadline, whatever it is. And I'm good enough to beat the Warriors with these guys. Or does he want to say, F this, I'm going to do the Kevin Durant, I'm going to the Rockets, and now we have two super teams in the Western Conference. So, I mean, wouldn't that be ridiculous in the West if LeBron is in Houston and Golden State? I mean, who is going to come out of the East and even challenge either one of those teams?
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying makes a lot of logic from like a fan standpoint, and you break it down.
No, it doesn't. It makes it.
Or from a basketball standpoint. Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, this
from
is
a basketball
LeBron's standpoint, man.
But like, I don't think it's his standpoint.
Money or rings.
The guy wants all the money, and he wants all the control. The guy is the absolute control person. To me, LeBron James is not a player that goes into someone else's house. He owns the house. You go to the Rockets, you're going into someone else's house. You go to Philly, you're just going to a gross place. I think L.A. is it. It is all about L.A. It's about playing with
Philly. You're going to a gross place.
Just going to a gross place. This
what
is a fascinating
is
conversation.
Problem?
Oh, here. I'm going to miss, unfortunately, this conversation you're about to have. And I'll be back for the third hour that you're going to have with Aaron Brewski. Ask Brewski about this. I am dead set on it. And we will regroup on the basketball podcast. And we'll regroup here when the decision is made, because it is very likely by the time the next show has happened, this decision will have gone down. LeBron wants to make this happen. And I think it's going to be hard pressed to see the other chips fall until LeBron has made his decision. Or if you start seeing guys like Paul George and Chris Paul making the decision, then I think they have insider information, obviously, because LeBron James. All right, well, don't go anywhere, because we have got more coming up. Bogman's interview with Hoop Ball's Aaron Brewski. That's coming up for more basketball talk. That's Bogman. I'm Noel. So this is In This League. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
We are back, and that loud cheer you hear is everyone being so happy that the Welsh had to leave. Because now it is just me and my good friend from hoop-ball.com, Aaron Brewski. You can find him on Twitter at Aaron Brewski. If you don't know who he is, you're not into fantasy basketball. That's just all there is to it. So he has been with RotoWire. He started his own site, and he is the absolute man. Aaron, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a lot better after that lead-in.
Well, you know.
Can you just follow me around and talk about me?
I'll just be your hype man. That's right.
Everybody needs a good hype man.
Yeah, I think I could follow you around. What's the pay? What do we start at? So,
ooh, that's where things go downhill.
Oh, man.
I might have to settle for a lower quality hype man.
Well, hey, look, I won't let you talk about my friend Dan like that. So,
ooh. Sharpen the knives early.
Oh, Dan knows I love him. So did you enjoy the draft? Are you ready for a vacation? Free agency's coming up. You know, you're not going to get that long to do it. So this offseason been treating you?
Pretty good. I think the finals were kind of painless. I think we didn't have to pay attention as much. It didn't go seven, obviously. And that gave us a little bit of extra breathing room. I think we got like 2 days off in there. And then to me, draft, for whatever reason, wasn't as crazy this year. There wasn't as many trades. I don't even think there
was
a trade.
It was kind of disappointing. Like, I thought there was going to be all kinds of action going on. But, there were very few trades.
It's kind of that way in free agency, too, though. I mean, obviously, you got LeBron at the top, Paul George, Kawhi doing his thing. And it's there's a lot going on. I think that the balance of power could tilt pretty good. But the there's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of money for these teams to spend. The restricted free agent class isn't that juicy. So it feels like we've kind of.
But of course, I'm
a huge Clint Capela fan.
That's right. That's why I had him on. Of course.
Well, I mean, he could get a max offer. I wouldn't be against it. But we'll get into that. I'm sure it's good to have a nice little break the last couple days, and then we'll get a break at about July 10th if LeBron makes his decision quickly.
That's what
the writers are rooting for.
Yes, get it over with. So that's what I want to start you off with here is the Welsh and I just spent a whole segment arguing about where LeBron James is going to wind up in free agency, because the Welsh just says he's going to LA. I don't know what anyone else is thinking. I don't know why anyone else would think it would be any different. He has to go to LA because, you know, the money's going to be there. He can be, you know, in movies on the side projects. He's going to make so much money being in a gigantic market. I say, why wouldn't he want to stay in the East? Because wherever he is in the East, it seems like he's going to walk into the finals. And if he's going to go to the West, why not go to Houston and play with your best friend, Chris Paul, with James Harden, who almost beat the Warriors last year? I think adding one of the best two players of all time in LeBron James would probably put them over that hump. Where do you think he's going to wind up?
I hate to burst your bubble, but I think it's L.A., the Lakers. I hate to say it. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, and if Philly, I think Philly would be the team that has a shot here. Boston has so much, you know, working for them already. I don't think they want to step into those waters. And so you start looking around and you go, what teams can make an impact? And really, it's Philly that has sort of that need and also some space. But I also sense that Philly doesn't really have a decision maker right now. You know, Brett Brown is in charge, but, you know, to what degree? And really, the Colangelos still have their tentacles wrapped around that franchise a little bit. You know, Jerry was particularly pissed off and really threatened to rain hell, you know, like Wyatt Earp. Hell's coming with me.
You tell him.
Isn't that the greatest moment?
Awesome.
That when he slaps up Billy Bob.
yeah. That was a great moment.
So if you're Brett Brown, like the only way I think it works for LeBron to go there is if Ben Simmons isn't there. I don't think they want to play Ben Simmons off ball. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. So are you trading Ben Simmons if you're Philly to get LeBron? I mean, I think everybody would sort of knee jerk say, yeah, but really LeBron's got to be all in before you start to go down that road. And I just don't see that. I think it's LA, man.
I'm disappointed to hear that, because I would think that either he would want to add pieces in Cleveland, because he's done this thing where he left before and the people hated him. I think it would be less like that now because they have won a championship in Cleveland, and people know that he has problems with ownership there. You know, they basically traded half the team to bring in the guys that he wanted at the All-Star break. So it's, you know, it's not like he doesn't have control in Cleveland, but for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to be working out, you know. And of course, you know, I'm a Rockets fan. I would love to see him in Houston. I don't think that that is a real possibility for this offseason. But I think in L.A., you know, if he does go to L.A., do they have to add Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for them to compete with Golden State and Houston?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what the holdup is here. I think the holdup is actually surrounding Kawhi. Kawhi being the better player between he and Paul George. I think teams are progressing as if he's healthy. I think that as you go through these kinds of trade processes and talks, you know, you get down to the brass tacks pretty quick. Like, this is the injury situation, you know, trust but verify, all that good stuff. And so if you're LeBron and you're trying to figure out, okay, what's LA going to do? LA is trying to figure out, and these are the stories that trickled out over the last 24 hours, is LA's telling San Antonio, hey, we really got to get this done now. And San Antonio's going, great, we love that leverage. You know, so that dance is playing out. And so LeBron probably sitting back saying, all right, well, I can make it work with Paul George. I can make it work with Kawhi. And hell, maybe we can make it work with all three of them there are some scenarios where they'd have to get rid of a lot of talent. And you got to ask yourself, if you're the Lakers, how much, I mean, you're probably not worried about losing Julius Randle. You know, Brandon Ingram, yeah, that could hurt, but really, is he in the same category of players as any of those other guys?
No.
And you go down the list, and the thing people are talking about right now is Lonzo Ball. You know, this thing about his knee,
right,
that kind of everybody knew already, and it gets announced now. Was that Lonzo's team basically saying, hey, don't trade for me, I'm hurt, and trying to keep his keep himself in LA?
They wedged their spot in LA in the draft, so I would not put it past them saying, hey, don't trade me. What is that? What do you think that trade looks like for San Antonio, though, if it gets done within the next week or so here? Do you think that is, like, Lonzo has to be going back to San Antonio in that deal for them to get Kawhi?
I don't think they want Lonzo, and that's the thing. That's the funny part. So Lonzo, I don't think San Antonio wants him. So I think they're looking really
closely.
Do they
not want him because of he doesn't fit, or because of the sideshow with LeVar and all that?
I think it's probably 60-70% LeVar, but then I think 30-40% the evaluation of Lonzo as a player. He's going to have to stop taking these kind of ridiculous threes. He made a good amount of them, but you know, when you're a Greg Popovich coach team, he's not really down with the just run down and jack, you know, philosophy. And I think they're okay with his playmaking, his defense, you know, the rebounding. I think they're cool with those things, but that one little characteristic which gets underplayed in the media because of the dad always out there hooting and hollering, Lonzo's got that same gene. You know, he wants to go down and run down and make you look bad. So I think that, and they've already got DeJounte Murray. You know, DeJounte Murray might be Pop-ups. A better version.
Yeah.
Might be a better version. I don't know. So I think they're looking at Brandon Ingram. And then after that, I don't know that the Lakers have that many assets that kind of fit with what San Antonio is all about. I thought that the Spurs had practically no leverage here. I think the Lakers, because if you're going to bring in LeBron, you're going to bring in a Kawhi or a Paul George, you do got to get rid of players. And it makes sense for the Lakers to not get thrifty at this point in time. You know, if the Spurs are willing to deal and they're saying, we got to do this right now because it only makes sense for us to do this if LeBron's coming, and, you know, they make this play right now, you know, Spurs might say, give us Brandon Ingram and a pick, and the Lakers might oblige.
Now, let me ask you this. If LeBron decides to stay in Cleveland, but Kawhi winds up with the Lakers and Paul George signs with the Lakers, are the Lakers now a contender in the West, a true contender?
Probably not based on experience, because, you know, Paul George has not really performed extraordinarily well in the playoffs. He's had some good games. He hasn't been terrible. You know, playing in the finals against a team like the Warriors that's been there, done that, the only kind of thing they can do is beat themselves, which they almost did against your Rockets. And but I think if you throw LeBron with one of those other players and they keep, you know, they don't strip the rest of the team away, you know, they kind of keep some semblance of a core, you know, you're going to get some veterans that come in there and want to play for a championship contender. I think they can compete with the Warriors. The Warriors have this kind of this Achilles heel that nobody's really exposed, and that's their lack of size. And so when you start getting to be able to play LeBron at the four, Paul George or Kawhi at the three, and you can start to load up out there at the perimeter with guys that can switch and defend and clutch and grab and the things that have stopped the Warriors in the playoffs, I think that, yeah, you're on to something, you know, with that. And if the three of them somehow get together, I'd probably pick them as a favorite.
You would pick them as a favorite over the Warriors
You got LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, I'd do it. I'd drive to Reno right now.
Man, I think it would be fairly close. You know, not because those guys aren't good or anything. I just think the experience of the Warriors would give me, I would take them a little bit, just because they've been there, done that.
It would be close.
Yeah,
it would absolutely be close. But I got worries about some of the Warriors. I mean, like Draymond Green has. the ability to turn it on, but I worry about his lateral quickness and his explosion. He's kind of a little bit of a bigger guy, a little heavier set. I think Clay could suffer from some of that. Steph could most certainly suffer from some of that. I think Durant's quickness will be fine. But the big thing with them is they still, despite their many championships, still don't really know how to play basketball, which is wild to me.
They don't turn it on until the third quarter, like every single game. Like you said, you know, my Rockets are very, very good, but they were taking advantage of what the Warriors were giving them. 100%. So don't think I didn't notice that little jab at the Rockets, Bruce.
I picked the Rockets at the beginning of last year as the team that could compete with the Warriors.
Yeah, and you were right. You're a smart man.
You know, you put together PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, you know, Chris Paul. You got some, and Clint Capela. You got some nasty defenders there.
So, I mean, Paul George winds up in LA, right? Like, we heard some of this story about how, oh, he may want to opt in, but he wound up opting out. The Welsh tells me someone is doing a documentary on him, a 4-part series, so they're probably just trying to build drama for that. He's definitely going to the Lakers, right?
He's funny, man. He's got all of the commercials, and he just, like, he's a classic LA guy. He's going to LA. I think the Lakers are trying to figure out how to make that damn super team.
Yeah.
But it's tough if you're picking between Paul George and Kawhi. I mean, Paul George is pretty healthy, really lengthy defender, can really do some things against the Warriors. But he wants to be in LA, I think. And why would you want to play in Oklahoma City right now?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, why would you want to play in Oklahoma City? To me, it just blows my mind that people want this to happen. Like, if you think that the Warriors and their fans are annoying, do you not remember what it was like with Shaq and Kobe in L.A.? Like, those are the most obnoxious people in the world.
So I'm in Sacramento. I'm not a Kings fan, but yeah, I can attest to what it's like at a Kings game. You know, the Lakers fans come out of the woodwork.
Yes.
And
they're just like Cowboys fans. For those of you who are not.
Yeah. You know, the only fan that's worse, and I really respect these fans, but they got like a subset of them that are just the worst of the worst, and that's Raider fans.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Everybody knows that. I mean, not looking to get stabbed. So, you know, I've never heard any horrible stories like that with Laker fans. Maybe I haven't been listening. What about a former King, Brewski? DeMarcus Cousins, is he staying in New Orleans?
He might find that that's the only place that he can get a semi-decent deal. Dallas is the kind of the sweepstakes if you're a big man looking to get paid.
But they're looking at DeAndre, right? Because he just opted out.
Well, that's the most ridiculous.
Rumor.
This is the thing. He's ranked at the bottom of my list of ranks. If self-plug here, if you go to hoop-ball.com, the free agent ranks, I rank guys based on their money, their projected money, and kind of how good they're going to be. He's at the bottom. And when I heard the Dallas writer, Eddie Sefko, who probably hears from the team and has a good sense of what they might want to pay, he's like talking about $25 million per year. I wouldn't pay 15 for DeAndre Jordan.
And he just opted out of like what, 23, something like that?
24, I believe, off the top of my head. And that's because he has a pretty good idea that he's getting signed.
Yeah.
And so if you take that off the board, DeMarcus Cousins loses a big buyer. I think maybe after that, Washington becomes his probably best case scenario. But I think if you're New Orleans and you're trying to keep Anthony Davis happy, they do have a connection, those two players. They actually started playing well together towards the end of DeMarcus Cousins' season before he got hurt. He is a heavy dude coming off an Achilles injury with on-court issues, off-court issues. He thinks he's a point guard. He really... He could dominate on the block every play if he wanted to, but he's like, nah, I'm going to cross you over and step back into a long two. It's tough. I think he'll get 2 to 3 years, maybe a third year with like a partial guarantee team option. Anthony Davis' contract expires after 3 years, and that's, I think they might line that up. He's not getting any offers north of $20 million. I think it's going to be something in the ballpark of $16 to $18 million. And I think he, like a lot of other players, are going to want to take a shorter deal, reestablish their value, and wait till the cap goes up. Next season, it goes up to 109. You know?
So here's the last one before we go a break. We got about a minute left. Clint Capela, my guy, I really want him to stay in Houston. I think his chemistry is perfect with Paul and Harden, and he's a great defender. is he going to get a max offer from someone, and are the Rockets in a position to match it?
You know, I don't think he's going to get that max offer. I mean, I thought he deserved it out of all of them. And if you take the Mavs out of the equation, which he would be a great fit next to Dirk.
Boo.
I just don't think there's like a team out there with the money and the will to do it. And I think that Houston might kind of preemptively get him a deal that's, say, $4-5 million short of the max, and use that money to pay Chris Paul. I think he's going to stay in Houston.
I do too, and I hope so. Well, stick around with us. We'll be right back with more Aaron Brewski, and we are going to talk about the draft after this break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In this league.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
in this league.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. All right, we're back. More Aaron Brewski to talk about the draft. If you don't know who Aaron Brewski is, I don't know what you're doing. He runs and owns hoop-ball.com. He is a mega mind in the basketball world, especially the fantasy basketball world. And they've got their free agent watch list up right now, and they got their draft guide coming up in about 2 months. That's the one I buy, guys. I don't buy many draft guides, but that is the one I buy. Whatever Brewski is working on is where I go. Find him on Twitter, at Brewski. So now I want to talk about the NBA draft. We talked about this a little bit earlier, how there wasn't a lot of moves going on. And that was kind of surprising. I think the biggest deal of the day was the Luka Doncic and Trae Young flipping spots deal.
And the most stunning, really. I mean, the Hawks, I don't know if this is new owner smell. I mean, Travis Schlenk, you'd think he has seen a thing or two in the league. I can't believe they made that pick or made that deal. Trae Young, to me, I don't think he can stay on the basketball floor defensively. Yeah, he can pull up from anywhere, but I mean, even on a young team like Atlanta, some of that stuff's not going to fly. This to me was like a classic, you know, draft day snafu. That's gonna really hurt him. And then Doncic, not only do the Kings blow it, but you know, he goes to the Mavs and really goes to a great place, great organization, known for winning, great culture, at least on the floor. And then they, you know, he's gonna get a chance to play. And him and Dennis Smith make a pretty good 1-2 punch, you know, as far as a ball handling backcourt. I'm excited for the Mavs.
Is Luka going to be your number one for this season, the number one rookie that you have for this year?
For fantasy leagues, it's a little hard to say before free agency. He's going to be up there, yeah. I mean, I think he has top 50 potential if everything goes right. I'm a little worried about his the kind of first third of the season. I think that they might hold him back. But Rick Carlisle is not afraid to play guys if he believes in them. He played Dorian Finney-Smith like 28 minutes a game. He'll play. He played Dennis Smith 28 minutes game.
Afraid to not play players if he doesn't.
Absolutely.
Play like Nerlens Noel, man, that guy. Is there a chance? I know this is a little bit off track and off draft stuff, but do you think there's a chance Noel can sign somewhere else and turn his career around?
I mean, the rumor was the Warriors. And that's not fair, you know.
No, that's not fair.
And you throw that guy
Why
into that defense.
Do that anyway. Like, doesn't he want to go somewhere and get minutes?
He's on kind of like eighth or ninth in our big man ranks. He needs a great year. You know, I think he could. He's the kind of guy, if he went to play for the Spurs for a year, he could then reestablish his value, a la Rudy Gay right now, who, you know, had a kind of subpar but didn't fall flat on his face type year. Everybody's like, oh, Rudy Gay had a great year, played for the Spurs, and gets that little Spurs bump. I think he could, but their questions about his ability are real, whether it's the knee or just playing well. I think those questions for Nerlens Noel are real.
He just can't. He was so good when he first came in the league, and, you know, he just really showed flashes. So he's just been such a huge disappointment, because he goes to Dallas and you think, oh man, they got all that open playing time, and because now they're looking for a big man. We just talked about it in the last segment, Brewski, where they're looking for Capella, they're looking at DeAndre Jordan, and they're the outside shot at DeMarcus Cousins. So it's just funny to see them not give this dude who potentially has talent some time, because he got into Carlisle's doghouse. But you have covered the Kings. You did cover the Kings for a long time, and
I still do.
Yeah, you still.
I can't. As much as I would like to stop, they don't let me stop.
So, did they get this pick right? Is this the right pick with Marvin Bagley III? Did they finally kind of get one right where this is the one? This is not going to be Buddy Hield. And I know we've heard stuff about their, you know, how they can't just seem to turn any of these top picks with talent into anything because of the way they develop players. I mean, Marvin Bagley seems like a pretty good pick here, and it seems like he's going to go in and contribute right away. Did they get this one right?
No. I mean, in a word, no. The problem is they have some front court players that, you know, are not guys you want to just throw away. And that's not a reason you don't take Marvin Bagley, but the stated reasons that they took Marvin Bagley are not that great. But you had a player in Luka Doncic that would have stepped into your small forward position. These guys have been struggling to find a small forward for years. Justin Jackson's not going to get it done. They have this gaping hole, and it feels like they have zeroed in so much on Mario Hezonja that they are going and picking almost from a positional need, where they see, they go, we don't like Scal, we don't like Willie, you know, and they would never come out and say this, but this is kind of the feeling, I think, around the team, inside the building to some degree, outside the building a lot. And so they bring in Marvin Bagley. Bagley, my thing is this: if he's going to be a good defender, he's going to have to figure out how to do that at the four. And then if he can't do it at the four, which a lot of guys like him cannot, he's going to have to do it at the five. He's going to have to be able to provide some level of rim protection, and that's not really in his profile. So it kind of looks like they got like a younger, way more athletic version of a Zach Randolph, and they're going to have to build around that for years now. If you have a big man that can't defend, it really puts your team into a bad spot. So, I mean, with Doncic, and he looks just NBA ready. That competition over there in EuroLeague is good.
Right.
He's out there at 19 years old making big shots. And yeah, you can see there's a little bit of speed issue. But when you got all the tools, when you got all the clubs in your golf bag, you can just get away with stuff.
I mean, and he's going to do that too. Like, I don't know if you saw that stuff floating around on Twitter.
She's pretty easy on the eyes.
Yeah, yeah. So I was happy about that. What about what about DeAndre Ayton? I'm going to be in on Luka Doncic watching this year. So they're going to go to her. They're going to go to
you and Andre Iguodala.
That's right. Yeah, me and Iggy got something in common now. So yeah, they're going to go to her in the crowd more often than they went to AJ McCarron's wife during the national championship. What do you think about DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix? I mean, it seems like, you know, they just went with the guy that they think is the best. And I agree with that, especially if you're picking one overall. You have to take the best guy on the board. But they did pass on Luka. And they have some guys up front. Alex Len hasn't worked out. Dragan Bender hasn't worked out. They offered Marquese Chris up during the draft, and there were no takers. So is he a guy that's going to come in and just immediately contribute?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, and he's a guy, you know, for fantasy owners to definitely take a good hard look at. He'll probably get overdrafted like all rookies right. do. But here's my worry about him. He seems so top heavy. You know, he's coming into the league at 250, 260, and he's just going to get heavier. He's going to be about 280, 290, you know, when he's in his prime. And how is that going to look in the pick and roll in today's NBA? Offensively, I wasn't as thrilled as everybody else was with his film. He has some moves. They don't look great. Is there something to work with? Yes. Is he the next incarnation of Al Jefferson on the block? No. He can shoot a little bit. That's going to help. I worry about him defensively. Everything else, I think it's a solid pick for the Suns, though, because you do need a center if you're Phoenix. But I'll say, if it was me, I probably trade out of it or find a way to take Luka Doncic. I felt like he was the one that was the safest. And you know what? I could make a case for Bagley, and I could make a case for Mo Bamba as well.
It felt like the ties were so big, right? Like the new coach, I forget Igor Kakostov. Is that how you say his name?
We'll go with that.
Sure, close enough. So I'm trying, everybody. So he's the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, and you know he coached Luka over in the EuroLeague, and I heard his son was named after Luka Doncic. So. It was very strange to see them wind up passing on him and taking the big man. Do you think this was just a, you know, look, we have an athletic big man. We're at the top of the draft. And also, I know this shouldn't be a thing, but it always is. He's local. You know, he went to U of A. So the Suns fans love that stuff. Do you think that was just the, you got to get the big man? This is kind of like the taking Greg Oden with Kevin Durant's there.
That's exactly what it felt like. And it also felt like Devin Booker was comfortable with him. It felt, who, by the way, general manager Devin Booker, I'm sorry, sir. You've got Josh Jackson, who's like a 2/4. Who knows what he is? Right. Who knows what he projects to be? TJ Warren, you know, what are you going to do with that guy? It seems like their entire team is a bunch of 3-4-2-3s. Ayton just sort of stood out there. I think once he became a consensus top one or two pick, they basically said, well, we really just need a big man. And the local angle, I'm sure, played out. Sarver is involved, I would think, in that sort of a decision. I don't know, you know, who was really driving the boat on that. McDonough, you know, he is well respected around the league, you know, despite all of the struggles of the Suns, and I know you guys are a lot closer to it in many respects than I am, but it definitely felt like this is a Greg Oden, although he's built way differently than Greg Oden. He is
right.
Ayton is a tank, man. He is something else.
I don't think that he compares to Greg Oden as far as players go. I just thought the situation, because it was, you know, find the faults in the guy behind the big guy. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what the Suns kind of did. Everybody's saying Kevin Durant is too skinny to last in the NBA. Well, guess what? He's not. I mean, he may miss some games, but when he plays, he's still a top two or three player every single game in the NBA. So I just thought that was weird. And I apologize if anyone heard my Fan Tracks best ball horn go off in the background. That's very unprofessional. So,
you know, how many people got fired over that horn? They're just at work. That horn is awful. Sorry, Fan Tracks. I really love your stuff. I just don't like the horn.
Yeah, I'm apparently up in my best ball draft, but luckily I have 4 hours to make that pick. We talked about Trae Young a little bit earlier. I mean, I've heard him compared to anyone from Steph Curry to Aaron Brooks. And I think the way you spoke earlier is you think that he's kind of going to land more towards the Aaron Brooks side than the Steph Curry side, of course. But
does he have Aaron Brooks's explosion, though?
I mean, probably not. I think it's the what I was looking at was, you know, I've heard people say Curry, so I was trying to find the worst comparison. And in the Ringer's draft guide, they had, you know, shades of, and Aaron Brooks was in there. So I just, like, he's the lowest guy I've seen a comparison to at all, as far as Trae Young goes. But what do you think he's going to offer for this season? Because it seems like Dennis Schroeder is going to wind up being traded away and gone. I mean, there were rumors that he almost got traded during the draft. So it looks like Trae Young is going to walk into a starting role. Are you going to be high on him for fantasy this year?
No, I don't think he'll land on a team. And that's, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he'll be overdrafted. So I won't have to worry about that decision. In theory, they could play a junk ball brand and he could just get a ton of touches, and they run up down the floor and kick the ball around the court and have a bunch of turnovers and a bunch of garbage time basketball, and maybe he can emerge with value. You know, defensive stats are going to be an issue there. We'll see how that translates. The shooting percentages, I mean, God. And then in a nine cat league, he had 5.2 turnovers per game, if I recall correctly, last year. Obviously, they're going to bring him back a little bit. He has to, in order to really have fantasy value, they're going to have to put him on a pitch count with the shots. They're going to have to take away the bad shots, take away the turnovers, and really, like, if he can sit in a 25-minute-per-game role coming off the bench, which they're probably not going to do, then I think he could have some value if he really tightens it up. But if he's killing your percentages, uh-uh.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be difficult. I mean, can we stop having people compare Oklahoma guards to Steph Curry? Because it happened with the same thing happened with Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's basically worthless now.
Yeah, poor Buddy Hield.
you feel bad for him because he's in Sacramento.
No, you know what? Actually, I'll say this about Hield, though. He's going to possibly be one of the best shooters in the NBA. His shot, when he's got his feet underneath him, he doesn't hit the rim at all. It's just this beautiful thing. Has no handle. You know, questionable decision making. Defense is a question mark. But he can shoot, man.
So my favorite prospect, of course, because he went to Texas, Mo Bamba got drafted by the Magic. Jaren Jackson Jr. got drafted by the Grizzlies. These guys both seem to have depth chart issues in front of them with, I just blanked on the big white dude's name from the Magic. Why can't I remember his name?
Vucevic?
Vuce. Jesus. Thank you.
That guy.
Yeah, Vuce and Gasol. The two dumb white guys. So are in front of these dudes. Do you see them getting on the court and being, productive this season?
Mo Bamba, man, he needs some help with a trade because Bismack Biyombo, I mean, unless you're really just eating that contract, you want him out on the floor giving you something so you could say, hey, he's a warm body that he can actually last 20 minutes in an NBA game. If they don't do that, you know, if they don't trade him, then it could be 10 minutes, 20 minutes for Bamba. 20 minutes, I think he can make some noise in fantasy leagues.
At least give him some blocks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's got great instincts for blocking the basketball. Problem for his overall long-term dynasty value is he really fancies himself a perimeter player. And that is just never good for a big man unless you're in a position where you can sort of punt the percentages and take advantage of those threes that they start bringing to the table. The trade-off never really works in favor of the player. But we got a lot of time between now and the beginning of the year. Vooch is on the block. If they can get rid of Biyombo, they will. And I do think that he, even if those two guys are around, they'll have him playing 20 minutes per game by the end of the year. It's just, will he be worth drafting?
Right.
Jaren Jackson, I like his position in Memphis. I don't think there's a lot of players that are going to compete with him. Jamichael Green, I think that they're pretty much cooling on him there. I do think that he can give you good blocks. That's going to help out. Percentages, you know, you look at him, he shoots 80% from the line. That you can work with.
Good for a big man. Yeah.
Yeah, good for a big man. It shows you that he can improve from there as well. So he could possibly be kind of a better version of Jamichael Green, because Jamichael Green gives you the good percentages. He just doesn't give you any steals or blocks. And he can hit the three a little bit. So I like Jaren Jackson. He was actually somebody, you know, I was trying to figure out my pre-draft ranks because I put so much thought into them. And it was Jackson, I want to say, was five. I had Doncic, Bamba, Bagley, 8, and then Jaren. So I had 8 and 4.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be interesting because we got the summer league to go through and all that stuff to see how these guys kind of adjust. We have trades to see where they're going to wind up as far as their own depth chart. But I tell you what, if you guys want more of this, go to hoop-ball.com, follow Aaron Brewski on the Twitter machine at Aaron Brewski, and let him know that you heard him from me, because I would appreciate that. So he is Aaron Brewski, and the Welsh and I will be right back to talk some more fantasy football. Thanks so much.